with Dion and Alan.
Alan, I wonder if you don't want to pick up where you left off in the last segment and tell us a little bit more about, you know, we've been talking Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Tell us a little bit more about Genesis 3. I'm eager to hear how context can help us to see this passage differently.
Right. Well, again, Genesis chapter 1, we offered then as a sermon by a preacher trying to get the choir to sing again because they weren't singing the Lord's song in a foreign land. Genesis chapter 3, I want to offer, Dion, as a parable.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the old spiritual leaders, the shaman of original peoples, like Aboriginal peoples, Native Indians, would sometimes begin their storytelling around a fire with these words. Now, I don't know if it happened this way or not, but I know it's true.
Hmm.
And I want to offer that as an introduction into the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. I don't know if it happened that way or not, but I know it's true. Can I tell a story that maybe can draw that point out?
Yes, please.
There's a movie called Big Fish. It's a movie that includes a relationship between a father and a son, and the father just tells stories. Doesn't matter what you ask him, he tells it. He's got a story for everything. And the recurring question that the child asks the father is, "Dad, tell me what happened on the day I was born." And he says, "Well, on the day you were born, I went fishing. And I went down to that lake, you know the lake. And in this lake, there was this one fish that was just huge that everyone came to try and catch. But some fish are blessed with more luck or more grace than others. And no one ever caught the big fish until I went fishing on the day you were born. And I threw in the line and waited and waited. And then there was this almighty bite. And I wrestled for about 2.5 hours. And son, finally, I hooked the big fish and brought it in." And for a little while, the child bought that. But as the child grew older, the child was saying, "Now, come on, tell me the truth. What really happened?" And the father would just keep on repeating that story till finally, at the end of the father's life, he's still telling the story. And the son gets so upset with him. He says, "But I want the truth." And he walks out and he bumps into the family physician, the doctor. And the doctor says, "You're still asking that question? Why didn't you ask me? I was there. You were there? Yes, I brought you into the world." He says, "Well, tell me what happened." "Well, I got a call and your mother came in. A friend brought her. Your dad wasn't around, but it wouldn't have made much of a difference because, well, in those days, fathers weren't allowed in the maternity ward. And it took about 2.5 hours of labor, and out you popped, and there you were, bright little boy." Now, then the physician asked him the question, "Which version of your birth do you prefer? The one that I've just told you, which is factual, or the one that your father has told you, which I want to suggest is truthful?"
Hmm.
Now, very importantly, truth is larger than fact. When we try and explain something really, really deep and meaningful, sometimes the facts are not big enough. So we have to tell stories to get to the truth, but sometimes those stories are not factual. Now, we've been so influenced by what we call the Enlightenment, Western philosophy, Eastern philosophy that has moved away from storytelling, that we've reduced truth to fact. If it's truthful, it must be factual. But when you tell someone you love them, when you tell someone that they're beautiful, you tell stories. You don't speak factually. You say, "You're as beautiful as a rose." No one takes that literally. It's not factually correct, but it's true. I may say you're the most beautiful person in all the world. That's not a fact, but it's true. It's speaking the truth of my heart. So Genesis chapter 3, the story of Adam, Eve, the snake in the garden, is true. It's true, but I don't know if it happened that way factually. Now, when we can separate truth and fact, we can really plumb the depths of this incredible parable that is true. Now, what is it true about? It's true about God. We learn the truth about God from this parable. We also learn the truth about human beings. The truth about God? What are some of the things that you learned from that parable? God in creating this Garden of Eden, what do you learn?
That God provides for us and gives us this rich and plentiful garden.
Right. God gives us in abundance. What do we learn about human beings?
we are never satisfied.
Yeah, that's it. We're not even satisfied in paradise. We always want more. God says, you can have from all of this that I've created, except one tree in the center, which may be a way of saying, keep me at the center. Don't lose me at the center.
Mm.
Remember that all of this has been a gift from me to you, and trust me for my provision. The snake comes along, all right, and says, I've heard you're not allowed to eat from any of the trees. Now, that was a lie. What does that lie do? The lie makes you and I doubt whether God will lovingly, generously, abundantly provide for us. So now, if I can't rely on God, who have I got left to rely on? Myself. And that's the fall. So that is true. You see how Genesis chapter 3 is true? It's true about God's love and generous and abundance. But it's also true about our human condition that's never satisfied with what we have, that we listen to the lies of the snake. Have you ever come across a snake that talks?
Never.
That's right. But it's true. Snakes don't talk, but I hear them speak.
Tell me about that.
I hear them speak. The other day, I drive up to the traffic light in my car, and next to me, there's this 4x4. That pulls up next to it. Now, we know that 4x4s don't talk.
That's right.
But I heard it speak.
Come on, Alan. Yeah, tell me about that.
It said, if you get into me, you'll feel like a real man.
Okay.
Just buy one of me and you'll feel like a real man. The other day, I was driving through this neighborhood. Bricks and mortar don't talk, but I heard it speak. It said, if you move into this area, you'll feel safe and secure. Sometimes when you're walking through a mall, you look in and you see a pretty dress. We know that material doesn't talk, but we hear it speak. It says, slip into me, honey, and you're going to feel slim. You're going to look thin. You're going to feel like $1 million. Can you see? The snake is anything and everything that gets us to doubt God's loving, generous provision for our life. So we start trusting in other things.
Listen to more teachings and discussions at www.mannaandmercy.org or connect with us by texting a message to +27 782 785 300.